That never gets old. Amen. Hearing stories of people encountering Jesus, and these students encounter Jesus. My son Dalton was there, part of that encounter conference as well, and he just had nothing but great things to say, how God spoke to him, just amazing, amazing testimonies. And there's so many more. That's just what we could put on a video for Sunday morning. But, you know, celebrating what God is doing in the teenagers and the next generation, it doesn't get old. And that's why we're doing this Sunday morning all about Bridge City students, highlighting the 6th through 12th graders. And really, it's something about being generational, not just existing for ourselves, is really why we're here. We don't want the church to shut down once all of us pass away, but we want the church that Jesus started 2,000 years ago to continue going until he returns. Amen? You know, but I'm going to share just real brief about what we believe about teenagers, what we believe about the next generation, and why it's so important in our time right now to do something to make a difference. It's not just for Jared and Mary and Lindsay and the student leaders here or the student leaders at the other campuses, but we all have an ability to make a difference and impact young people in the faith, young people in life, to make a difference in this generation. Sadly, positively, according to surveys, there's a Barna survey that said a significant portion of Christians, actually 83%, made their initial commitment to Jesus before the age of 18. 83% of people begin a relationship with God before they're 18. Now, there's the other 17 that it's at later in life, but the vast majority of people meet Jesus and begin a relationship with him in their young years or their teen years. What a significant opportunity we have to share Jesus with young people, that they would come to know Jesus before they go out and live a big, bad lifestyle, right? They can get saved and be raised in a Christian home and given good moral values that, quite honestly, many of us didn't have. But we can choose to do something different from this day forward. You know, one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible, I believe, is in Judges chapter 2, where it says a whole generation was raised up not knowing the things that God had done for them. A whole generation was lost because the generation before hadn't taught them and reminded them the things that that God had done for them. It says, after that generation died, the generation of Joshua, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Sounds a little bit like our generation right now. Right, many of you remember a few decades ago, the Bible and the Word of God and even pastors were held in high respect. Now the Bible, people don't want anything to do with it. They don't want anything to do with Christians, and our culture has flipped so far from where it was a few decades ago to now there's a generation who don't even acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that God has done. That's why testimonies are so important. That's why all of us have a testimony that we can share with people in our lives, anywhere we encounter. I know people, we just had the Pittsburgh mission trip, and people are like, I don't know the whole Bible. I don't know all these verses. I don't know if I could defend the faith and give an answer for every question. And I say, neither do I. But we all have a testimony. We all have a testimony of what God has done in our lives to impact the next generation, to impact our children and our children's children. You know, one of my favorite things to hear, and I hear from so many of you in this room, is how much you enjoy watching the young people worship Jesus. How much you enjoy young people teaching and preaching and serving and doing. That brings such a great joy to my heart, because I realize we don't just exist for any one of us, but we exist so that the next generation would know God and serve God and love God as well. I pray for my children every day that they would know God, they would serve him every day of their life, that they would never wander away. They would know him and serve him all the days of their life. May that be said for every child in our families, every child in our church, that we would not lose one to the world. That's our mission here at Bridge City Church, for our young people, that we would not lose one to the world, that every one of them would receive the Holy Spirit of God, every one of them would receive a relationship with God. Yeah. The most important thing we could do is raise up a generation to succeed us. Amen. Success is all about succession. Yeah. It's not about what we build, not about the monuments and the things we build. It really is succession. The next generation knowing the things of God, not just acknowledging him, but worshiping him, serving him, and sharing others with him as well. And I just want to brag on, honor a family in our church. And one of them, there was three generations in one family a part of the Pittsburgh mission trip these last couple days. Neil Stifler is in the back, usher. He's serving nearly every single week. His daughter, Bristol, who was up front worshiping. I'm not sure where she is. Right there she is. Bristol and his dad, Wayne. Three generations were out on the streets, out on the trail, testifying of God's goodness, praying for people. I'm so proud of that family. And Bristol, 9 years old, just turned nine. She's out praying, like giving people invites to church, telling them about the family day and the cookout. That's one small part of seeing what generations can look like. Three generations all following the same pattern of sharing Christ with the people in our world. Amen. Second thing, this is important, but it's also joy producing. You realize like when your kids succeed, that brings such great joy to you. Any of you have kids, even if you don't, you can imagine seeing your children succeed in life is such a joy. Actually, greater joy than even our successes. When my kids succeed, when my son told me all about how he worshiped God, he was hearing God for the first, I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you. It's so much more than just me. It's so much joy when our children know God and will experience him as well. We see this in 3 John 1 verse 4. Where John's writing. Now, John, this is the Apostle John, right? He's the beloved disciple. He kind of gave himself that title. But Jesus said, my beloved disciple. John, he wrote 5 books of the Bible. He was there with Jesus for 3 years, doing ministry, seeing these miracles, performing miracles himself. He got the vision of the book of Revelation. God gave that to John. That's this John. Yet here he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John had experienced so many amazing things, but yet the words he put, no greater joy, was that he saw the next generation being raised up. The context of this is one of his children in the faith, not his biological, but children in the faith. This man named Gaius was doing the work of God, was preaching the word of God, and it brought John such great joy. I often hear people say, well, I don't have kids, or my kids are grown. There are children in the faith all the time. Beginning a relationship with God. There are baby Christians in our church. There are young Christians in our church. You can walk alongside them and help them understand the things of God, understand how to walk with God, how to understand the Bible, maybe praying for the very first time, or how to understand what prayer is. We all have that ability, every one of us in this room. John's greatest joy was that the next generation would be raised up, that they would be discipled, that they would have a model to follow. You know, before we can share that with the next generation, we got to walk it out. We got to model it for them. And when we do, there's no greater joy. Third thing is there's a reward that comes. There's a reward. You know, I think the first thing that we all get to heaven, we should long to be with Jesus. More than anything else, we just want to be in the presence of God Almighty himself. But then I think there's an aspect of wanting to see other people there with us. Wanting to see family members, but also those children that we got to have an impact on, those people we got to lead to Christ as well. There is a reward. Then Jesus says in Revelation, he said, I'm coming back, and when I come, I'm going to bring a reward for all the work that you did. That reward is not just physical children, but spiritual children as well. Psalm 127, Solomon's writing about the reward that we get from children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Again, the context of this, he is speaking more specifically of physical children, that when you are received children, little ones, they are a gift from God. But there's spiritual children as well that are a gift from God. When he entrusts us to care for the least of these, to care for his children, that's a reward. That's a reward worth fighting for. That's a reward worth sacrificing for. That's a reward. When we get to heaven, we not only get to experience the perfect presence of God, but then when we get to see all the children, all the people's lives we got to impact, all the people that God entrusted us to disciple, to lead, to give them an example to follow, that's a reward that we get to receive in heaven as well. Unfortunately, so many times people walk away from the church. And some statistics show that 75% of kids left the church from 18 to 29. After they turn 18, they graduate, they go off, do their own thing. 75% of children, kids, are leaving the church. And some of the statistics are showing even more and more than that. That's the trend. That's the direction that the world and the statistics are showing. But why did 25% stay? Whenever I hear a statistic, I hear statistics like, well, only 10% are doing this. I say, why are those 10% doing that? Why did only a third of the leaders in the Bible finish well? Why did only so many people follow God to the end? Why did 25% stay? Here's some five things that they found were common denominator with all those the 25% that stayed within the church, that stayed in the faith. They didn't allow their faith to be deconstructed. It says they ate dinner 5 to 7 nights a week as a family. Family dinner time is so vitally important to keeping the children close to the family. Served with their family in ministry. Had one spiritual experience in the home during the week. Now, you might think that's like a big, hard thing to do. Praying with them and reading the Bible with them, they can have a spiritual experience in the home during the week. Entrusted with responsibility in ministry at an early age. I'm so thankful for our young people that are serving, the teenagers that are serving, the ones who are here on student ministry night, but also on Sunday. For Bristol, 9 years old, serving out on the trail and in the streets, preaching and praying for people. She wasn't really preaching, but she was saying, come to church. Come take, get this. Entrusting them at an early age. You know, our culture is one of the only cultures in the world that actually has an adolescence. Most cultures, you're an adult at 13. They recognize adulthood at 13 years old. In the Jewish culture, there's a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah. They recognize because they're now being told, you have enough responsibility. We're going to entrust you with more. At 13, you begin to mature and grow. And I'm not saying you give them keys to the house and everything else, but we entrust them with ministry. You guys, especially I'm speaking to you up front, you have the ability to do so much in your life. What do I believe about, what about teenagers? I believe you guys have the most potential energy, the most potential to do amazing kingdom work. Not only do you have more physical energy, but you have potential spiritual energy within you. God, it's like a rubber band that's just pulled and stretched so far. It's got so much energy built up, or like an arrow pulled back on a bow. There's so much energy, and you just need a little direction, a little guidance to be launched forward to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. So if anybody ever says, you don't have enough, you're not old enough, you're not mature enough, don't listen to them. Because God's word says you are enough because you have the blood of Jesus. Most of you I know have great, great parents who love you and are trying to guide you in the right direction, even if you don't agree with them. Listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. They're trying to help you. They love you and they want what's best for you. But this fifth thing is they had at least one faith-focused adult in their lives other than their parents. This to me is a game changer. Because I know there's some of you right now that you say, I never had kids. I wanted kids, but I couldn't have kids. Or maybe you didn't want kids and you're not a parent. You have this ability to make a difference right here. To be that person that comes alongside the parents. So many teenagers have one parent in the home, usually the mom. You could be, especially the men, you could be a godly father figure to so many young people. That makes such a difference to keep them within the faith, to keep them from going, when they go off to college, they don't get sucked into the world, but they can stay the course. If you want to make a difference, it's really simple to say, I want to make a difference. How can I make a difference in young people's lives? How can I make a difference for this next generation that's being raised up? I think we're on the precipice of seeing the greatest generation for God that any of us have ever seen. And I don't say that flippantly. There is so much potential within the young generation to reach the masses, to reach the multitudes, to go into the nations and see thousands and thousands of people be saved. But we get to be a part, and we get to be a part of guiding them, directing them, and helping them know God, experience God. And what a joy it'll be when we see them leading the next generation after us. Amen. If you say, I want to be a part of raising up the next generation, doesn't mean you're signing up for student ministry, but if you want to, come see Jared and Mary. If you want to be a part of kids ministry, come see Pearl. She's right over here. We'll get you connected to serving with the kids, but I believe that all of us have the ability to impact the next generation. If you want that, if you want to impact the next generation, would you please stand to your feet? And I want to pray a blessing on you. You say, I want to impact the next generation. Please stand up. Amen. You guys can stand up too. You're going to impact them eventually. Amen. I just want to pray. And just as a sign of saying, yes, I want whatever God has for me, I want his spirit to lead me. I want grace to be able to speak to teenagers, to speak to young people. Just stretch out your hands as I pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you love each and every one of these students. We know you love each and every child. God, you love each and every person on the face of this earth. God, may we not look at teenagers or young people in a negative or critical way anymore. Father, remove that mindset of they're just a problem or a hindrance or just the way they are. But God, help us renew our minds to see them as you see them. Father, with that potential to change the world, God, the potential to be great kingdom men and women of their time. God, we thank you that you're giving us the ability, the opportunity to impact the next generation for your kingdom, for your church. May we flip the statistics upside down. God, may we turn this generation around from going the way of the world to the way of you, God. God, may your word be lifted up in high esteem once again. God, may your church be held holy and set apart as it was always meant to be. Father, I pray an impartation of your spirit to each and every person here. God, that we would find ways, that you would give us ways to make a difference in young people's lives. God, may it start with the way we view them, but God, then may you move our feet, move our resources, move our time, God, to make a difference, to pour into the next generation. Father, may we not lose one to this world. But God, that every single child and teenager that comes through Bridge City Church would stay the course and would serve you all the days of their life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give God a great big hand? You can be seated. And we're actually going to take a few minutes to honor and recognize our high school graduates. We have two of them right here at Murraysville, 10 as a church total. And there's a video of some of the Bridge City students graduating high school. Let's show that video.